This is a Main Hustle Media podcast.
It sounds like one of the names they would have for a monarch. It's like Queen Javia the First, Black Radical Queer, Queer Negro Women.
All the way from the A, you listen to my favorite lesbian on BRQ.
I'm my black girl magic voodoo shit, with the bamboo earrings on some new shit. I'm new when this body asking who this bitch. I'm the bitch with the pussy with the judo grip.
Hey y'all, this is Javia Nicole, aka your favorite lesbian, and you're listening to Black Radical Queer Podcast, our stories on our own terms. Hey y'all, this is Javia Nicole. Welcome back to another episode of Black Radical Queer Podcast. Today I have a very special guest with me who I am a fan of, so don't judge my life if I fangirl, just accept it, okay? So when I actually created the podcast, Amber was actually one of the first people that I envisioned having on. And I say that because I knew what type of content I wanted in my life. I was just like, I know what makes me feel good. I know what makes me feel seen and represented, and I want other people to feel that way too. And I want us to be able to see other Black queer people out here, like living their lives and the things we have in common and things we have, you know, that differ. I've been following Amber's content for a while. So I was like, hey, this is someone who I really want to have on. Amber is everywhere, does a lot of different stuff. So I'm going to let her go into that. But definitely, I would just say for me personally, why I wanted to have her on is because her content is something that makes me happy. But like I deal with depression, and I went through like a really, really major depression. And during that time, I was able to watch her videos, and it wasn't like fake. It wasn't just like prank videos or I don't know. It was something that made me feel uplifted, that made me laugh, that made me smile. Like I found myself smiling every time I watched her videos. And I put my friends on to her like, hey, you got to watch her videos. Like I needed feel good stuff, and her content was feel good stuff. Still real, still very, you know, but feel good stuff. So I was here for it, and I'm glad to have her on. But I'll let her tell her more, you know, tell y'all more about herself.
You got me feeling like in my feelings and shit.
Oh, man. I mean, that makes me feel good to know that that my content can affect others like that, because you know I'm that's one of the reasons why the name of my brand is Professionally Silly, you know. And when I say I take my silliness seriously, I do, because let's just face it, we live in a world where everything is kind of I mean, look at who's our president right now. We're all stressed, you know? And sometimes it's nice to be able to watch something or hear something that makes you go, bitch, you funny, you know?
Right,
that makes me smile. You know, like, that makes me feel a little bit better, you know, poke fun at some things, you know, being able to have the ability to alter someone's emotions is a very interesting and intimate thing to mm-hmm. to be able to do that. So that makes me feel really good. And it makes me feel more, I will use the word. It makes me feel necessary. You know what I mean?
Good.
It makes me feel good.
I think that's good because, you know, we live in a world, especially if you are some type of marginalized person. So if you're Black, if you're queer, if you're a woman, we are not necessarily always made to feel necessary in that way. Like we are made to feel like, oh, we have to do a lot of labor and we got to carry everybody. We got to do all that. So, but feeling necessary in an uplifting way, not like I'm just here to work for y'all, but, you know, but like I'm here, not just here to like carry folks on my back, but here to do what brings me joy and see that it has a good impact on other people. I think that's really, really important to be able to do. That's really one of the things that has been so awesome to me about me doing this podcast is that I just created like what I wanted to see and hear, what I wanted to hear, and people responding to it. I'm just like, what? Y'all still listen to me? Like, for real? Y'all back? You know, it's just awesome to me to be able to do that. One of the things I wanted to ask you about was, so for those of y'all who haven't figured it out by now, I do, subscribe to Amber on YouTube. So I've been subscribed to her for a while on YouTube, and one of her recent videos, y'all unplug the videos because you're going to have to go watch them. So you know what the hell I'm talking about. but on one of your videos, you talked about having a yes month.
Oh yeah.
So
yeah,
definitely tell us about that. Cause I'm like this, when I watched the video, I'm like, I need to do this. I don't do this. So
yeah, well, I decided to do that because I was I realized that a lot of opportunities in life come by, and because of the state that I was in when those opportunities came by, I was not able to move past that depressive state to do something new, to just get out there, go audition, go meet people, go to an event, do this, right?
Yeah.
You know, I was feeling, because you'll even notice at some point, you know, I'm not sure when you started watching my YouTube channel, but at some point recently, you know, I would be like, oh, every Sunday, mm-hmm. every week. I didn't miss it for like 3 years.
Right.
You
right.
Know? And then after
like
a while, yeah, I kind of took a little break because I just, mm-hmm. I couldn't, it's hard to, as my friend Jade, her channel, Foxy Hot Mess. And it's
yes, cool. I love, you know, Jade.
She said, yeah, she's great. She's one of my inspirations, actually. Mm. And she said in one of her videos, it's hard to make people laugh when you can't even smile yourself.
Woo. Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
No, that's real.
Yeah, she actually said that in one of her videos, and that always stuck with me because I know exactly what the hell that feels like, you know? So I decided
Like a quick question. It was like, it's interesting to me that you mentioned it because I wondered how you were able to do that, because in your videos, like, I mean, it's been a while since I've watched your video. So I got to see that shift from posting like clockwork to, you know, there being like a little bit of a hiatus, or just kind of more time. And yeah. I wonder, because you mentioned in your videos, like dealing with depression and stuff like that. And I was like, how is she able to still, you know, show up for the Smile Squad? Like, how are you still able to do that, you know, and feel that, like, that was because I understood what that was like to be depressed. Like, I've had that struggling to get out the bed, struggling to, you know, that kind of stuff. So I'm like, how is she, you know, still making us laugh?
It becomes, after a while, it kind of becomes just a part of who you are. Chasing that dream is not just an action. It's also who you are. And when you catch that dream becomes who you are, who you're known for. You know what I mean? So In the edge of my mind, I know I still have that initiative of wanting to be more than what I am, you know, and I know I can't do it if I don't, you know, move forward, even if it's just posting something on my IG story, which I do. That's how, you know, I'm able to still connect with everyone. I just have it. So at least every week I need to make sure I do something that is in the realms of going towards the dream that I'm chasing, whether it's a podcast or a YouTube video, or I go live, or I do an IG story or TikTok videos, whatever the hell it is. It has to be something creative that will make me feel like, okay, I did do something this week. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's just like, you have to, getting yourself out of that mindset is really hard. And there were times like, I just could not do it. And I didn't. That's one of the reasons why, you know, I didn't do a podcast for almost an entire month, or why, you know, I wasn't doing YouTube videos every week. Why there would be, you know, a day or two where you wouldn't even see me on IG story, because I just could not find the strength to do what it is that I needed to do at that time. And sometimes that's okay. Sometimes you just have to, you got to lay there and be like, God damn it. You know?
Right. I mean, you got to be honest with yourself too about what your capacity is, you know, like what you can and cannot do, because, you know, there's this expectation. People have to remember too, especially when you're a content creator, and I'm seeing this too as I do more podcasting. I mean, I've done different types of like art stuff, but I'm seeing that people have to remember you're a person and you have a life and you have your own things that you're going through. So you're not going to always be on. And people have the expectation of when you are a content creator, when you are doing something like that's entertainment based or arts based or media based, that you are always on. And that's tiring, because it's like, you need downtime. Sometimes you just don't even feel like it. Like, sometimes you're like, I just need to take a nap and I need to have my snack and just chill for a moment and recharge. But when you're so used to dating and like giving to the people, folks sometimes can take it for granted, or they just get so used to it. Especially our culture is very like instant gratification.
Yeah.
Gimme, gimme, gimme.
It really is.
That they're like, wait, you haven't created a video. You did no video in 3 days.
Yeah.
What's going on? You know, that kind of thing.
It also is another reason why a lot of content creators get so burnt out is they put a lot of themselves and their work and their ideas and their creativity and all that stuff into their content. And like, oh, I'm not getting any views. No one's liking, clicking the like button. Is it, you know, is anybody seeing this? I'm trying to grow, but I can't feel stuck. I'm, you know what I'm saying? Because like when we do content, yes, you know, it's for whatever, you know, platform it's for. But in the long run, we're hoping that it leads to something more. And if we can't grab the eye of the people who are supposed to be watching or listening, it's like a, it feels like a slap to the face. It's like, God damn it, this wasn't good enough.
Absolutely.
You know, maybe I should break. Yeah, it just messes up your energy a bit because you're like, well, I thought this was great. Why is nobody fucking looking at this?
Right.
You know?
Right.
You know, I was just watching, Evelyn from the internet. And because I like, she's another person whose videos I like to watch. And so she had this video, she collabed with someone and she was saying things that she wished she knew before, like, you know, starting her YouTube channel. And one of the things was, oh, I wish I knew that some of the things that I just put my heart and soul in, you know, may not get any views. And then the things that's just like, oh, it's whatever, those go by.
Yeah.
You know, you just never know. What's going to get the response. And I've had that same experience with the podcast. There's been some episodes where I'm like, I thought this would get way more, you know, listens. And then it's like, but then one that took off that was just random. I'm like, oh, okay. This was kind of a last minute random thing, but
cool, I guess.
But I know we digressed from the yes month. So you were saying yes.
Yeah, saying yes more. So, I decided to just go ahead and step out of myself and make myself, try new things. And I said, if I start saying yes, instead of coming up with excuses or reasons why I can't, you know, oh, I'm tired, or oh, I gotta work, or oh, I'm cramping. I've used that so many times. know? It's like, oh, you know, I got, because I'm in property management, you know, during the day, I always have an excuse that can be anything. Oh, I got to work with the tenant real quick. Or this is, you know, it's easy. I can get an excuse, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But the fact that I'm working so hard to do all these excuses and how easy it would be for me just to say yes and experience that, either I like it or I don't. And if I don't like it, I don't have to do it again. But
living
out here in Los Angeles, going to an event could be astronomical. You never know who could be there, who you'll meet, you know, what things you'll see will spark other ideas for your content or what have you, you know what I'm saying? Or it could be a great vlog. You just never know. You gotta go. You know, and I could have been so much more further along, you know, in my race to chase my dream, or if you know, what have you, but I let my, depressive state slow me down, sometimes stop me. Sometimes the fear of failure stops you from trying. I can't tell you how many times I became the victim of that particular circumstance, you know? Yeah. Or sometimes even the fear of success. Like, what if this is really good? I'm going to have to do so much. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Like, it can be anything, but saying yes took away my power of finding that excuse. You know, I was like, oh, do you want to do this? Yes. And then when I said yes, I got invited to a launch party. I ended up with a stylist.
Right.
I tried on some new clothes. I met some new people. Like, it, you know, saying yes opened up a whole new world that I would have missed had I, you know, been cramping. Or whatever.
Right.
Whatever excuse I came up with.
I mean, I think that's important, because one of the things that I, as I've been getting older and stuff like that, like, I've made it a point to be okay with saying no to overextending myself or just kind of doing everything for everybody. And so when I saw the video about saying yes, I felt like, because now I'm in a place where I'm like, I want to have balance. And I don't say no to everything, but I just want to say like no when I need to say no, but also take more opportunities to say yes. And so when I watched that video, I was like, yeah, I need to do that, because I've been out here now a few years and I feel like there's a lot I haven't done. And some of it is just from, even if it's not about saying yes to a person, because not like I know anybody out here like that. It's very few people, but even just saying yes to like taking a chance and going to an event, if I find out about it, even if I'm going by myself, those kind of things, just like saying yes to myself and just being like, just mm-hmm. go for it. And that's something I want to do more this year, because I do want to meet more people and expand and network, and because I love what I do, but I also want to make more connections out here and meet other folks who are trying to create and just have that positive energy, because I don't really know many folks. But I won't be able to do that if I don't actually basically allow myself to just basically put myself out right. there. It's difficult because in a lot of ways, LA still feels very new to mm-hmm. me.
How long have you been out here?
But just because I've been out here three years, but I've basically been working. The things I'm familiar with tend to be associated with places yeah. I work. I don't have a lot of like friends. I met my producer of the podcast. I met her out here. Well, I actually met her on Facebook and we both ended up moving out here. So that's how that ended up happening. But I've met like a few other people. Outside of that, it's just like my in-laws. So I don't know. And I just go to work and I will come home. And now that I'm doing this podcast, it's giving me more motivation to like actually get out, because I tried kind of connecting with people at jobs and like getting out and stuff. And then I kind of gave up because I wasn't having success and people were flaking on me, and I just let it go. But now that I'm doing the podcast, I'm like, okay, I need to get out. Like, I want to meet more people. I want to like tell more queer people's stories and all that. So where the hell am I going to get them if I don't actually go out yeah. and meet folks? So yeah, I had to make that shift. How did you decide to come out here? Like, how long have you been here?
For good Lord, man, it has been about 7 years. I packed up my little blue car with everything I could. I drove across country by myself. Took me 3 days to do it. Mm. And let me tell you, in the middle of the country is racist as hell. I'm just, there are places I went to arrest, like, you know, to get something to eat. I'd be the only motherfucker. Like, mm-hmm. there's nobody melanated in New Mexico. Like, what's up?
Oh, it's looking real alabaster around these parts.
I was like, let me take my black ass in my car and keep moving till I see somebody that looks like they could pass the paper bag test. Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
Ooh, comfortable as hell. But I moved to Los Angeles not only for my career, but for my sanity. I had graduated from college. Mm-hmm. You know, on the contrary, oh yeah, college education, you get jobs and blah, blah, it's easier, is bullshit.
The bullshit.
It's such bullshit. The economy is so retarded. Everything is bullshit. Expensive. Oh my God. I have a college degree and I have a job I can't fucking stand. And, you know, it's nowhere Hello. Near in the realm of what my degree is in. And it's just like, what the, you know?
Yeah, that's a whole other podcast.
Galore. I got my damn master's and it ain't doing me no good out here. So
it's just like,
I ain't got none but debt to show.
I moved out here because I needed a change. I needed something different. Mm. I lived in Atlanta my entire life. You know, Atlanta and Savannah, my college years in Savannah. And, you know, I traveled a little bit, you know, but I just wanted something new. And I also knew that the comedy scene out here in Los Angeles is fire. There's a comedy club, like, it's like Waffle Houses out here. They're fucking everywhere, you know. Mm-hmm. And I knew that also everybody moves here for the same type of dreams, whether it's cooking, acting, right. modeling, singing, rapping, whatever your talent.
Trying to make it.
Which means it's just a whole city full of dreams, you know, a whole city. And that is so inspiring to be around all those amazing ass. Mm. Like, I've met some dope ass people that live out here who are out here doing the damn thing, you know, and just being around that energy was something that I needed. Plus the sun is nice and weed is legal. So.
Listen, it's crazy though, because when I moved out here, I mean, I moved out here because, you know, my wife wanted to live here. So I wasn't really pursuing anything like an entertainment or anything like that. But it's crazy because I somehow ended up, because my degree field is human services. So I do like counseling mm-hmm. and like that type of stuff. So, but lo and behold, I end up circling on back around and ended up doing this podcast situation, which when I first started out in school, I wanted to do like broadcast communication, mass communication, something mm-hmm. like that. Radio. I really wanted to do radio. So I'm just like, look, I end up coming here and somehow getting into this podcast thing. But when I first got here, you know, I understood it was the same thing you said about people, you know, chasing their dreams. But I looked at it not negatively, but it was just like, I wanted to make connections with people, like actually build friendships. And I'm used to like my friends that I have been in my life for years. Like we got
10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 year friendships. And I'm like, I'm trying to, you know, make friends and stuff. And I felt like, well, people are just trying to make it. So that's why they're flaking out. Like, if it's not like a business thing, they're not trying to hear it.
Oh, yeah.
But now,
that's a big thing out there.
You know, that kind of thing. But it's just looking at it from a different perspective. Like when you're coming out here to chase your dream, then that is inspiring. And now that I'm doing the podcast, it is more inspiring. And I want to connect with people like that. But before it was kind of, I was like, maybe this isn't the place. But I guess really it is. I just had to kind of see, you know, where I was going to end up. I didn't know I was going to end up doing
this.
Oh,
yeah. That's another thing. Like when I moved out here, I wasn't really into YouTube like that until I met my friend Amber.
Really?
Yeah, like I wasn't. No, I mean, like I had a channel or whatever, but I just posted videos here and there. But they weren't nearly as intricate as they are now, you know. You know, and so, because I've had a YouTube channel since like 2008, but I had no idea that YouTube was going to be what it is.
Like, influencers weren't a thing like that back in the day. Yeah. It was just like, okay, I'm trying to find out what products to use on my hair, you know? It's crazy.
Yeah, I went to YouTube for like cat videos and how-tos. Like, that's
right.
I didn't know that shit was even a thing until I met Amber.
Right.
You know, if it wasn't for her, I wouldn't have even really even considered it.
It is necessary to have that kind of content, though. Like for me, when I really, because I used to do my little hair videos, I kind of stepped away from YouTube. And then I got back into YouTube, I guess when I moved out here. And yeah, when I moved out here. And I just really, well, no, before, but heavy. I got into it heavy when I moved out here because I wanted to see more Black queer folks. And I wanted to see couples. I wanted to see, you know, artists. I just wanted to see folks doing their thing. And so I started watching all these couples. I started watching all these just YouTubers. And so that really expanded just kind of my view of like what was possible on YouTube. I had no idea until I started watching all these folks. But it's been really helpful because it's, to me, it's really cool to see how content is expanding and like transitioning and all that, and to see how far it's come. But I also look forward to seeing all of you, like all of the people I watch, y'all being able to continue to expand and like do all the shit you want to do. You know, so it's just dope to me to be able to follow that journey, honestly.
Oh, fire. Thank you. Because like it is, it's fun doing things, you know, because it's like there are things that I would do on my YouTube channel that I would not do like just myself. But I know that a lot of viewers may wonder, well, what would it be like to do this or do that? You know, and having a platform kind of also inspires me to try new things like that sushi burrito thing.
So it's kind of expanding it. Oh, I want to try that.
I tried that, you know, but if it wasn't for, you know, my YouTube channel or my IGTV, I probably wouldn't have been like, oh, well, let me just spend money on this. But,
I probably would not even want to try it if I hadn't seen you try it. Like, I saw you try it and I was like,
that looked pretty
good. Dang, I actually want to try it out. Because outside of that, I was like, what is that? But then I actually saw you try it and give your feedback. So I'm like, dang, I might have to try that shit.
I might have to go ahead and put that inside my body.
Right. Just saying. It's a good look. So yeah, I mean, I think it's really dope though that it can kind of have that reciprocity for you. Like it's like, oh, well, this can inspire me, but I can also inspire others.
Yeah. That's what it feels like, you know. It's like we get to live vicariously through other people, but other people gotta try some stuff so you can live vicariously through them, you know. there's like Will Smith. I'm not jumping out of a fucking helicopter, but I got to see him do it, you know.
Right. And that's right. I'm not the one or the two, but be great and I'll cheer you on. When my mom was planning to go skydiving, I was like, I will cheer you on from the ground.
Oh, so you're better than me.
I will even bring pom-poms.
My dad talked me into going hang gliding with him. And I thought he was like doing this whole like, you know, you know, having my little middle age crisis bullshit. That's what I thought was happening. I thought it was just something you talk about. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, yeah, we can totally do this. And you both know you're never going to really do that. I thought that's what this was. Spring break vacation in my college years. I think I was like a junior in college. And I came home and he's like, all right, so you ready? Let's go to Lookout Mountain and Hang glide. I'm like,
pause. Flag on the play. What you mean? Am I ready? Like, hold on.
And we're gonna. You paid money. Oh,
you for real? For
so
real?
I felt like I had to do it simply because
you felt obligated.
Yeah, I felt obligated because he spent money. You know, and I did.
Oh no!
I never did that shit again. I tell you what.
How was it?
Terrifying. I was up there.
Oh my
god. Like 20 minutes without being inside of a plane. My mind could not let go.
Oh no.
And I felt like
I'm afraid of heights. I ain't about that life.
Yeah. And the part the part that made me feel so babyish and childish is because a 9-year-old went before me and was up there for 45 minutes and had the time of her life. God. I was up there like 15
minutes. Well, kids are fearless.
Like, take me down. This is not. I want to go down now.
Kids are fearless, though, so it's like that's not a fair comparison because you know kids they're well, they're just like about, yeah,
oh, this could kill me, and they don't think like
right.
They're just like, oh, I can.
They're just like, yay, fun. I'm just like, hell to the no.
Like
it's like this is just another way to die. So it's a no for me, dog.
Okay, never again.
Yeah,
shoot.
Mm-mm, I cannot. So okay, when you were this is totally kind of a subject change, mm-hmm. but when you were growing up, were you the kid who like did your family always say like, oh, you're so funny? Like, were you cracking jokes around the family, or did you kind of discover your comedy and like that you have like comedic timing and stuff like that? Did you discover that later?
I've always been a little goofy kid.
You're like, oh, I was born like this.
Yeah. I woke up like
I've
this.
Been this life.
You know, it's always been. You know? I've always been the little.
Some of us just born with.
Yeah, I've always been putting on little shows, and you know, like I knew I wanted to be an actor when I was old enough to talk.
Right. Nice.
Everybody else wanted to be firefighters and ballerinas, and I wanted to be on stage. So that's just, you know, it's always been that way for me. Even when I was in high school, you know, I was in the drama club. Like, you know, I was that. I was one of those geeks, you know. Okay. I was a drama nerd.
Hey. Now, do you ideally want to do, because I know like you kind of tested out doing some stand up and stuff like that. Like, do you want to do comedy acting? Do you want to do stand up? Do you want to do it all?
Well, this one thing. I moved out here for stand up. Stand up is something I've been doing for years.
Oh, I thought that.
Yeah, no, that was just me getting on the back video. Into it.
Oh, back into it.
Yeah,
okay.
Because I had, you know, the depression thing kind of stopped me for a while.
So. Okay, that's what it was. Yeah. I was like, I thought you were saying you get okay.
Yeah, I was getting back into it.
Cool.
But I guess moving out here, I learned that it is best to be good or no, it's best to be great at more than one thing. Because you'll see, comedians like Kevin Hart or Wanda Sykes or, you know, all those other comedians, Daniel Tosh, Jim Gaffigan. They're all comedians. But where are they? Movies, commercials, podcasts.
Hosting shows. And yeah.
Ellen DeGeneres has her own fucking show. You know, she's making money. You feel me? That
she got books and everything.
You feel me? So it's always good to be great at more than one thing. Because that's going to make you stand out more than someone who can just sing. But if you can sing and dance, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's like,
yeah, it's like be the triple threat type of thing.
As much as you can. And that's another reason why I wanted to do the YouTube channel, because I got to learn what it's like to be, you know, behind the camera, what it takes to edit, you know, how to put in sound and all that other stuff. I learned as I went, you know, and it gives me a better appreciation of what's going on behind the camera and also behind the people behind the camera, you know, the everything, you know, so, yeah.
No, I definitely can relate to that, because when I was in Atlanta, I used to do like modeling and totally got into modeling unexpectedly. But it made me interested in photography. And I became so curious about the other side of the camera. And I went from that to a friend of mine gifted me my first camera. And then I started taking pictures on that. And I just had like an eye. I just loved it. And I ended up getting a professional ass camera and doing all. And I mean, I did photography for years. It's kind of one of those things. It's like, I want to get back into it. But I did. I was doing, I had my site. I was like doing, you know, booking shoots and stuff. And then sometimes. Well, I noticed that with photography specifically, because it wasn't like this with other things I've done, but with photography, dealing with people and doing it for money kind of made me kind of jaded a little bit. So I had to kind of like step back from it and then come back to it and just do it for myself. But I've done other stuff and I've done gigs and like I used to belly dance and I did gigs and stuff and that was fine. So I don't know. I don't know why it was like that.
You can't just drop a belly dancing bomb and just skip past that shit. What?
I did. I belly danced for, I'm like, I don't know. Have I even told my listeners this before? Hey, y'all, your girl used to belly dance.
Y'all see this? Who's interviewing who now? So tell us about the belly dancing.
Oh my gosh. I belly danced for six or seven years. I'm trying to remember. About 7 years.
Girl, you better get your belly on.
So I was looking for, like, at one point in time, I was looking for, like, something fun to do to work out. And stumbled upon, like, there was a belly dance studio cause when I was in Atlanta in, like, Candler Park area, Edgewood Candler Park. And I saw the place and I'm like, oh, let me just pop in there and just see. They had walk-in classes. I'm like, let me just pop in and see how it is. Took a class, fell in love with it. Then a friend of mine got, but I was like, I'm broke because I was in undergrad at the time. Mm-hmm. I ain't got no money. Right. So I was like, I ain't gonna be able to do this. My friend got me a gift certificate to go back to do a course. Man, it was a wrap. I just started taking classes.
I love it.
yeah, I fell in love with it, took classes. And then I started my own troupe and we hosted events and parties.
Oh, so this
and
wasn't just I took a few classes. You was hosting events.
Yeah, I performed.
You're welcome, listeners. And I pulled this right out of her for you.
Dang, darn you, Amber. I'm shaking my fist. but yeah, I did that for about 7 years. So I started a troupe. Then my friend, came on board with me. We had our troupe, all Black women, and yeah, we did like some restaurant stuff. We taught other people. And then I when I moved out here, I danced a few times at a restaurant in Reseda. It's too damn far. Okay. It's too far. Yeah. But they have like a little recurring thing there where a bunch of dancers are coming. It's paid. So I was like, let me give it a shot. It's a really supportive environment.
Yeah, funny
went
real
out
quick.
There. It's, you know, it was great, but it's too damn far. And I just kind of was like, I wasn't feeling belly dance as much anymore. So I stopped. So I haven't performed or anything since. I think the last time was a couple years ago. Yeah, it was maybe like 2016 was the last time. And it was out here. But it was cool. I mean, I got videos and stuff and all that. Because I did it for quite a while.
You hear that, guys? Ask her for videos. She has Instagram, too, so she'll have to post.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my God. But
it's at least IG story. Yeah. I mean, come on.
I'll think about that. I'm going to have to go to the archives because it's been like 2.5 years now since I've done anything. But I did love it. I mean, I like creative stuff. But it's crazy because I always had this idea that I wanted to do radio. And I used to do when I went to Clayton State. School
that
radio.
Was around the corner from my family's place.
Really?
Clayton State University. Yeah.
That's my old stomping ground. So I used to Clayton State had a radio station. I used to do radio there. But I always kind of wanted to get back to it. And I don't know. It took all this time. But then my wife was like, I want to do something. I want to like talk to Black queer folks. I want to, you know, support my peoples. And she was like, oh, maybe you should do a podcast. And I was like, I'm not sure. And then my producer was like, yeah, I'm going to do this podcast stuff. And I'm like, damn, I guess it's meant for me to do a podcast. And it was like within 3 weeks, I launched a podcast like, from that moment. So I guess the rest is a short history.
Seems like you've been around the corner from me since Atlanta.
That's crazy. I mean, I went to Clayton State. I lived in like East Point College Park for a while, and then I moved to Decatur because I transferred schools.
Decatur, where's Greta?
Yeah, but that is crazy. And now I'm out in LA and it's so crazy because I've seen there are a few people who like transplants. And I'm just like, how did, you know, we end up here? But folks are chasing their dreams. And that wasn't my initial reason for coming out here. But I am glad that I'm here now because I do feel like I'm where I'm supposed to be to do this thing that I really care about. So.
Yep.
But I digress. I'm like, this is supposed to be about you. Come on. So what are you looking forward to for 2019?
I'm definitely going to be taking more risks. I'm going to be getting on the stage a lot more this year, you know, for stand up, not stripping. Okay. I don't do that anymore.
Don't be disappointed, y'all. She's still funny. You can listen to the jokes.
I'm going to be doing more with my content, definitely. Like my, you know, my YouTube and my podcast. I want to make sure that I hit those platforms hard. Because, like, you know, like you said, it just takes that one video, that one person. You just never know.
Mm-hmm. You never know.
Yeah.
I love the podcast, too. The podcast is funny.
You got a podcast?
And it does. Yeah, I mean, it aligns to me. I mean, because I watch the YouTube, so it does kind of like align with it. But on some things, we kind of get to like know you a little bit better. But I was rolling. Listen to the podcast. I like how you have like your transitions, your edits. I'm like, yeah, this sounds really nice.
Thanks to Anchor. I'm telling you, man. It's my joint.
Listen, y'all. Okay, so we're recording on Anchor, and I had never used Anchor before. Amber actually told me about Anchor. So I was like hitting her up like, hey, I would love to have you on my podcast. I usually record via Skype. And Amber was like, okay, cool. I use Anchor. I have a podcast. Like, have you heard of Anchor? It's free. And I'm like, I don't know what that is. I'm about to look it up. You said free. You speak my language. I'm gonna look it up. So I looked it up and I was like, oh, this seems cool. You can edit and all that kind of stuff. And so I downloaded it. And I'm like, listen, I downloaded this shit for you because I had never used it before. But I was like, I'm gonna download this. I'm gonna check out this little ankle or whatever since Amber recommended it. I'm gonna go ahead and test this out or whatever.
Take a little looksy poo, you know.
Right. So, but I actually like it. I think it's very user friendly. So I like it. It's cool to me. I'm like, because it's basically like very similar to you just having like a phone call with somebody, but you're recording.
Pretty much.
Anchor, you see her out here?
Okay.
Putting you on.
Trying.
Go ahead and cut the check.
Okay. As many zeros as you like, Anchor.
I know that's right. So, okay. So you said 2019, you're going to be on stage more. Are you going to do, what else do you want to do outside of like doing more stand up? You said take more risks.
Yeah. That means like, you know, go to more auditions, for one, you know, even do some background extra work, you know, like I just need to get out into the entertainment community a lot more than I have been, you know, the last couple of years that I've been here. So my plan is to get out there more and get my name and my brand out there as much as possible.
I hear that. That's my goal too. So I'm hoping that I can, well, no, I'm not going to say I'm hoping. That's what I'm going to do this year.
I'm going to do that.
Manifest it. But yeah, that's the plan. So yeah, that's pretty much, I mean, really, I wanted to be able to have you on to, I don't know if there are any of my listeners who don't know who you are, but maybe so, because I do have listeners in like other countries and stuff. So maybe. But I do want for them, I want it for them to be able to get to know you a little bit, because I love having people on who like inspire me or who have had some type of like impact on me. And it was really, really dope to me when you said, yeah, you know, you would be on. I'm like, for real? you know, because I think, and then too, I love to support my folks. And so I'm like, you know, any opportunity, you know, it's an opportunity for you to be able to further plug all the stuff that you got going on. I'm here for it. I'm always going to be supportive. My listeners know I'm always like, Black women of everything. Support your people, you know, like,
we are a force to be reckoned with.
Listen, recognize. So yeah, I definitely am all about that. So I'm very grateful that you're able to come on. I know, I kind of low key a little bit tried to bribe Amber, even though she didn't really seem to need the bribe to come on the show, but I was like, I'll owe you a meal or something.
But, I was like, yeah, you know, sure, why not? Like, almost immediately.
She's like, sure. Right. She's like, sure. You know, food is the universal language.
I said, I'm going to start saying yes more. And you were one of those yeses.
Listen, hey, okay. I'm great. You know what? I need to check out that place that you were talking about on your live, Zarafe.
Oh my God. I was just there today.
Really?
So good.
Okay. See, I love some good Mexican food. So I need to go to this place.
We'll make plans.
Yeah.
We'll make a vlog out of it and everything.
All your people. Yo, dope. Be like, we're podcasting live from South Zarape. Can you tell how many drinks we've had? They're going to be like, these heifers.
What?
Like, hey, I take my silliness seriously.
Damn right.
You know.
Damn right.
Okay. So I want to give you a chance to do all your plugs. So let the people know where they can find you. Y'all will see her again because we're going to go to Zarape and get our food and drink on. So all that good stuff. But where can they find you across the
the internet.
Actually, the easiest way to find me is just typing in, especially my podcast, Professionally Silly Podcast. If you type that into your Google search engine, it'll pop up on whatever platform that you use, Spotify, Apple, Google Podcast. And my YouTube channel is called the same, Professionally Silly. I try to keep it, consistent. That way it's easy. Yeah. It's easy to be found. My brand name, is Professionally Silly. And I go by Amber Smiles Jones. So if you wanted to look me up that way, that's possible as well.
So yeah, y'all definitely check her out across social media.
Oh, y'all definitely gotta check out my TikTok. That's my guilty pleasure.
I was just about to say, listen, I had never even heard of TikTok.
It's a new Musical.ly.
TikTok need to sponsor you.
They need to, damn it.
They need to sponsor you because you plug them, like you give them their props. You're like, listen, y'all ain't on TikTok.
Okay. So she TikTok,
told us,
Anchor.
She told us she was going to quit us.
These niggas need y'all to cut my check ASAP.
She told us on the live last night, she told us she was going to quit us if we don't get
That's
a TikTok.
Right.
I'm like, so you just going to let us go?
No more
That's
videos. No more podcasts. It's done.
She's like, she not doing nothing else.
And then I posted a whole new podcast like 2 hours later.
And was on IG. I'm like, see, look at this.
It's become second nature, like breathing.
You can't quit us. Right. But yeah, it's definitely that. Yeah, they need to go ahead and sponsor you and stop playing.
Okay.
So 2019 TikTok.
Okay.
Sponsor.
Shoot.
So what we got? We got the TikTok sponsoring you. We got
Anchor need to get
the Patreon.
Connected.
Patreon popping.
Right.
You're gonna be on stage,
right.
Not stripping.
Maybe.
But telling
Maybe.
Jokes.
When I lose this weight,
might come
I might
with a side
that.
Of stripping. It might come with a side of stripping. So yeah. Just be on the lookout for that.
Side of stripping. You know.
Just a side, like a little appetizer.
Damn right.
Or like a dish.
That's right.
The main course is the comedy, but you might get a little dash of stripping.
Right.
You know what I mean?
What I'm saying? There's a pole on stage. We'll figure this out.
Just a drizzle. Just a drizzle.
little dash.
That's ridiculous. We ain't got no sense. So yeah, I'm just cracking up, so y'all have to excuse me. But thank you. Thank you very much for being willing to come on my little podcast. I'm new on the block, but I hope to have it for a long time. I really enjoy it. And I do it because of this, because I want to be able to talk to folks who I can relate to and who I know other folks can relate to, because we do need to see ourselves represented more. Like, we need to see more Black women, more Black queer women who are just living our lives. But sometimes we can feel kind of isolated. So we need to know, hey, we got other people out here who look like us, live like us, love like us, who are doing the damn thing and who are sharing their stories.
I'm glad you say that, because I have somebody else for you. The people who P.S. I Love Me, the clothing design.
Oh, yes.
So you need to slide into her DM and tell her that I sent
you. I will do that.
And,
I will love to have her on.
Interview right there.
I would love to have her on because, first of all, she styled the hell out of you.
Okay. I felt sexy as hell that night.
Man.
What?
The look was so bomb. And she looked amazing. And then it was crazy because I actually was trying to look into that. The page for the launch is not up. Like, the flavor.
Is flavor. It's not there anymore?
Mm-mm. When I click on it, it doesn't pop up. But I did follow. I started following P.S. I Love Me because I was like, your style is dope. Support Black women. I'm all here for it. So let her know.
That you're going to reach out?
I will slide in the DMs.
Yeah. All right. I'll let her know.
I'm going to do that this week. I'm gonna need to go ahead and do that because I love what she's doing. So I'm here for it.
She's fine.
And look, she can style me. What's up?
Okay. Okay.
Shoot. I'm down to get styled. Okay. I got dreads too. I got, I got this thing going.
Let's all get sexy quick.
I know that's right. For real. So that's, look, I'm gonna say yes to that.
Okay.
For 2019.
Just say yes.
Hey. Okay. Come through with the vocals.
Hey.
Thanks y'all for tuning in. As usual, it was a blast. Thank you for listening. I appreciate y'all. I ain't gonna do a bunch of fancy shit because, y'all, this ain't new no more. Like, y'all know me. I know y'all. We family. It's like, you ain't company no more. You could just come in and, like, get some water. You ain't gotta ask. So I ain't gotta do all the fancy shit no more. So.
You know where the glass is at. Leave me alone.
Right. You know what the stuff is. Dang. Go sit down somewhere. So it's been real, and I'll catch y'all next time.
Black Radical Queer Podcast is all about intersectionality and Black queer folks sharing our stories on our own terms. We navigate an array of identities, and BRQ is an outlet where we can see the spectrum of those identities reflected, explored, and celebrated. Black Radical Queer is a Main Hustle Media podcast hosted by Javia Nicole, produced and edited by Charmaine Johnson. Music is by Publicity. You can find us on social media by looking up Black Rad Queer. It's BLKRADQWR. We are on Facebook as well as Instagram and Twitter. Same handle regardless, at Black Rad Queer. BLKRADQWR. We also have a Facebook discussion group that's just called BRQ Discussion Group. And you can also listen wherever you get your podcasts. So we're on iTunes, we're on Spotify, Google Play, you know, all those types of things. And we have, you know, our home base that's on Libsyn. So you can listen on there as well. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode. Make sure you come on back around next week to see what we have for you. And all right, y'all, I'm out.
Main Hustle Media. Turn your side hustle into your main hustle.